Looking up from underneath, fractured moonlight on the sea. Reflections still look the same to me as before I went under. And it's peaceful in the deep cathedral where you cannot breathe. No need to pray, no need to speak.
This is weird. I like it. A DCU's Batman fanfic, written by Hearts Logos, and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Tim Drake, Jason Todd, with additional tags for Alternate Universe No Superheroes, Alternate Universe Magical Realism, Witches, Mermaids.
Now I am on the road and it's breaking off.
Moves to the coast and the lighthouse when he's 19. It's far enough away from the city that Tim isn't bothered, but close enough to major shopping centers, so it's not like he's in the middle of nowhere. For the most part, Tim's left alone, and he likes that. There's no one whispering or gossiping about him where he can notice them. He doesn't particularly care if it happens behind his back, because what people say is their business, not his. And no one gives him a hard time when he goes to buy 6-packs of Zesty. There's water, and there's salt, and there's gray, white, black, blue, brown horizons as far as he can see, and that's all Tim has ever needed. The merman that gets stranded in the huge tide pools during low tide is an unexpected bonus. "Hi," Tim says, and the merman glares at him. "I'm Tim. I live at the lighthouse." Tim points. "And I know you know what I'm saying because I've been listening to you swearing for the past 10 minutes before I decided to come down from the pier and investigate." The merman snorts. "That's a sad excuse for a pier." And then his mouth clicks shut, and he glares harder. Like it's Tim's fault he decided to talk. Tim shrugs. "It is a sad excuse for a pier. Tim's okay with that. It just means people don't come as much as they would if it were a good pier." "Okay." Tim sits down on the rocks, jutting out of the sand by the tide pool. "Are you hurt?" The merman blinks, still watching him suspiciously. "No." "That's good," Tim replies, then starts to make some flower crowns out of the flowers he found by the lighthouse. The flowers are small, and most of the crown ends up being grass and green-brown stalks rather than flowers. The merman watches him the entire time, blue-green eyes narrowed in distrust, arms tensed, like he's going to dive if Tim gets too close. Where to, Tim has no idea. "It's not that deep a tide pool." Tim puts on the flower crown and walks away as the tide comes in. The merman mutters something about weirdos and fucking finally. Tim doesn't need to turn around to know that he's gone. It's kind of an understatement to say that Tim's surprised when the same merman is there the next day.
"I thought you learned your lesson last time," Tim says,
when vague yelling about creepy brats and don't ignore me starts up. Tim sits by the rocks again,
the flower crown from yesterday sitting on his head. He was going to add more flowers, but he couldn't find any. The merman rolls his eyes.
I'm not stuck here on accident this time. I came here on purpose, genius.
Tim blinks.
Why?
The merman blinks back at him, like Tim's the one being weird in the situation.
Because I wanted to.
Why else? I'm Jason. Hi, Jason, Tim replies. And Jason awkwardly swim paddles towards Tim's side of the tide pool, lifting his upper body onto the rocks. Tim can't help but stare a little, because, well, it's a very nice upper body that leads to a sleek, powerful-looking lower body.
You're a weird human. Most humans freak out when they see merpeople. Try to capture them or take pictures of, like, I don't know, do weird things.
And I'm weird because I don't do weird things? Tim replies, crossing his legs. Jason rests his head on his arms.
Well, yeah.
I'm not like most humans, Tim says. And Jason's eyes flick over him, from the top of his head to his folded hands, and then to the mud and sand-covered tips of his shoes.
I'm getting that, Jason says. What's on your head?
Tim spends low tide teaching Jason what a flower crown is, promising to bring flowers so Jason can make one next time, explaining why flowers aren't in abundance at the beach. Then explaining why the beach is full of dead things, and how sedimentary rocks work. Then explaining mountains. And forests. Tim doesn't think he's talked that much to anyone in ages.
It's a nice feeling.
Tim retreats to safe ground when the tide comes back in and watches Jason go. He thinks he's just made a friend.
Weird.
Tim and Jason spend almost all of low tide the next day making flower crowns.
You're weird for a merman, aren't you? Tim says. Not that he has experience with mermen. Or mermaids.
Jason shrugs.
I prefer the word unique. Adventurous. Bold. Special. Different. Better than most,
Jason replies, making a face when flower petals stick to his fingers.
What's the point of flower crowns?
They're fun, Tim repeats.
They smell weird,
Jason says, but that doesn't stop him from reaching out to take Tim's from him.
Things from inland are weird. Land things are weird.
Jason laughs. It's more like a cackle.
I love it.
What's it like wherever you're from? Tim replies.
He's pretty sure that Atlantis is the name humans gave it. Well, he is pretty sure that the Little Mermaid isn't a thing. Scratch that. He's definitely sure that the Little Mermaid isn't a thing. Boring,
Jason replies, wrinkling his nose.
There's nothing to do. It's all protect our lands, watch the fish, make sure the fish are okay. Avoid boats. Be careful of nuclear waste. Humans are dumb. Eat your kelp. It'll make you stronger. Don't get high off a jellyfish. Whatever. Jellyfish? What? You've never tried it?
And that's how Tim explains that jellyfish are actually toxic to humans and do not, in fact, make things look glowy and trippy. Which leads to Tim explaining the words trip and trippy. And it all rounds out to Tim explaining how it's possible for people to trip on their own legs, and Jason laughing at how fucking dumb that must be because They're your own fucking body parts. How do you not know what they're doing?
Tim hums and thinks.
Well, it's my heart, and it's currently beating triple time, and I don't know why it's doing that.
Except that Tim kind of does, because Jason looks really nice when he laughs.
Even if it is at the expense of every single creature that's ever tripped in the existence of ever.
Before low tide comes in, Jason says, I'm sick of having to come into this boring-ass tide pool. Tim does not ask if that means Jason's sick of Tim as well. Though it's probably not an unreasonable assumption. Tim would be pretty sick of himself after 3 days, too. Tomorrow let's meet at the pier, Jason says instead. Or is that a bad idea? Jason, in general, is probably a bad idea.
I'll see you there, Tim replies.
It's a date.
Except not really. Because it's kind of soon for Tim to be crushing on the merman with an orbit fresh smile and pretty eyes after only 3 days. Tim likes to think he's not that easy. And there's the bit about Jason probably not even thinking of Tim that way.
Tim's sitting at the pier, feet dangling over the edge, and watching the water when he feels a hand curl around his ankle. Tim leans over and looks down. Jason is staring up at him.
Hi, Jason says.
Tim smiles.
Hi.
They spend the day talking about toes and shoes and socks and the difference between a kitten heel and a stiletto. Jason stares at him like he's considering calling Tim on some bullshit, except Tim has a great cellular provider and wonderful reception. Jason stares at Zappo's high heel section for 2 hours before surrendering to the power of shoes. In turn, Jason explains fin piercings and scale tattoos, and it's all so baffling and yet so familiar. Jason swims in idle circles, floating on his back, arms behind his head, tail lazily flicking him in slow, languid circles around the pier. His voice getting quieter and muffled as he drifts underneath the pier, underneath Tim, before reappearing. His scales catch silver light. And if Tim didn't know better, it'd almost look like the light on waves. It strikes Tim that Jason kind of looks like a predator, blending in like that. It's probably unhealthy, the part where Tim's heart picks up a bit at that. And it's not out of fear.
Aren't humans supposed to be social creatures or something?
Jason says, and Tim's half in the water, clinging to the somewhat questionable ladder going off the side of the pier. Sitting on the rungs, arms looped around the sides, Jason's been alternating between ducking underwater and attempting to pull Tim away from the ladder, and talking to Tim above water.
I guess,
Tim shrugs.
Where's the rest of your school, then?
My what? Tim blinks. Jason blinks back at him.
A school. You know, like a pod, a shiver, a battery, a wreck, a swarm. A glint, smack, brood, shoal, swarm, run, bob.
Jason keeps listing off names, dip between his eyebrows growing the longer Tim doesn't say anything.
Is any of this ringing any kind of bell?
Tim stares at him.
Do you mean where the rest of my family is? Yeah, sure. The rest of your whatever you call it.
Jason waves a hand.
Where are they? I don't have a family, Tim answers. Where's the rest of your, Tim makes a vague gesture.
School.
Jason tilts his head.
I don't have a school. I have a shiver.
A what?
A shiver.
Jason repeats, slowly. It'd be patronizing if Tim wasn't genuinely confused.
A group of sharks is called a shiver.
You're a shark?
No, I'm a merman.
Jason snorts.
Do I look like a shark to you?
He looks like a predator. And he looks like a really handsome predator.
If you're a merman, shouldn't you be with a group of mer people?
Tim asks. And Jason just stares at him for a bit before sighing. It takes a few hours, but by the end of it, Tim thinks he understands just as much, if not more, about mer people and their aquatic fellows as Jason does with shoes.
I'll take you to meet my shiver sometime, Jason says. You'd like them. They're very nice.
Tim refrains from telling Jason that most people are terrified of sharks. It seems a bit pointless. Tim isn't most people, after all. Maybe it's because Tim is now aware of it, of Jason. But when he looks down from the lighthouse, Tim can see sharks swimming at the bottom of the cliff. He wonders if that's Jason's shiver. The possibility of it gives Tim a warm feeling.
Jason has a solid grasp, more or less, on human clothing, food, and housing. The same goes with Tim and the merpeople equivalents.
They're moving on to working out history and ethnicity when tourist season comes along. Tim's stretch of beach isn't really very touristy. There's no parking lot, only a service road from the lighthouse to the main road, and the beach doesn't even have a name. The word beach is a generous term for the bit of sand, the sad pier, and the tide pools that Tim's lighthouse overlooks. But somehow, through some strange happenstance, there always is one or two groups of teenagers who come to the beach to fuck around. Part of it is because of Tim. Part of it is because it's free. Tim doesn't see the appeal, but then again, Tim isn't like most people. Jason is in the middle of interrogating Tim about the difference between the United States and the states themselves when a group of teenagers comes onto the beach. Loud and obnoxious, with that edge of nervous energy that Tim's long equated to some idiot about to try and prove how badass they are. He wonders if they'll go away if he waits long enough. Or if they'll just not go near the pier? The reason why the pier is so crappy is because it discourages people from going near it. It does not discourage the stupidly determined, though. And that's definitely a rock that just got thrown at Tim's head. Tim dodges, of course. It lands in the water with a harsh plop. Jason blinks.
What the fuck?
It's the sea witch!
Tim hears, and internally rolls his eyes. Jason can't see what's happening from where he is, and he disappears beneath the water to swim around to get a better look. He shoots Tim, what the fuck, looks, as Tim turns to look over his shoulder. It takes 15 minutes of Tim giving them the raised eyebrow, are you fucking serious? This is just sad, look, before they wander off down to the opposite end of the beach.
Why did they do that?
Jason says, swimming back to where Tim is. Tim shrugs. Teenagers are stupid.
Well, yeah. But why?
Jason frowns.
Why did they call you a sea witch?
Tim smiles.
Probably because I am one.
Tim's always made sure that people knew exactly what kind of freak to call him. There's nothing to be ashamed of, after all.
What's a witch?
Jason asks when he shows up the next day.
Because Jason would.
Show up again, that is. Even after yesterday's weirdness. It figures that Jason wouldn't be scared off by that. Though it probably has something to do with the fact that Jason apparently doesn't know what a witch is.
It's someone who can do magic,
Tim replies. Not that he does much of it to begin with. There's not really much magic that needs to be done around a lighthouse. For the most part, Tim just uses it to get extra hot water.
Do you have anyone like that where you're from?
Tim asks, as Jason's face moves from baffled to disbelieving and then adorably confused.
Yeah, they're called my entire species.
Jason tilts his head.
You mean not everyone can use magic? How do you even function as a species?
Nope. Tim blinks.
Wait, everyone? Everyone.
And that's shocking, really. Tim makes Jason explain it to him at least 5 times before he finally gets it.
Sort of.
And Jason makes Tim explain why being a witch is a bad thing at least 6 times before he bursts out into some colorful swearing and angry rants.
It's really nice.
Jason reaches out and curls his hand around Tim's ankle, lightly squeezing and pulling to emphasize his points. Jason leans his head against Tim's shin, wet hair creating a damp patch on Tim's rolled-up pants. His mouth presses against the skin of Tim's shin, and Tim looks down at him. And Jason is looking back at him. His fingers curve over the arch of his foot, curl against the jut of Tim's ankle bone, carefully splaying over Tim's calf, fingertips sliding underneath the hem of Tim's pants, just pressing against the underside of his bent knee. He flashes his teeth before letting go and swimming away.
Tim thinks they just had a moment.
Weird. Tim thinks he kind of likes weird.
He would go so far as to say he loves it. Do you want to meet my shiver?
Jason asks, fingers loosely tangled with Tim's. Tim's lying down on his stomach, arms and head hanging off the edge of the pier. The sun is pleasant, just beginning to shine through the morning fog.
How?
Tim asks, because the water by the pier is too shallow, too close to the shore for the shiver to comfortably swim here.
Aren't they by the cliffs? I'm not that good of a swimmer. You're a sea witch,
Jason says,
and I'm a merman. All we have to do is make some magic.
Jason tugs at Tim's fingers, and Tim watches the water gently lap against Jason's chest, over his shoulders, pooling at his collarbones and beating on his neck.
Okay,
Tim says. And maybe this is how sirens work, and all those stories of people drowning at sea came around. It's a good thing Tim isn't like most people. And Jason isn't a siren.
His singing sucks.
Tim sits on the ladder rungs, and Jason is, for the first time, within arm's reach. Real arm's reach. Not stretching or lunging, but if Tim held up his hand right now, he could touch Jason's shoulder. He looks into Jason's eyes and can't help but be a little dazed by the size of Jason's pupils, the luminescence of his irises, and the crooked curve of his mouth. Jason's hands are smooth and long-fingered, webs that, when held up, Tim can faintly see veins through. Jason's hands slowly rise to cup Tim's neck. Tim doesn't know why he closes his eyes, but he does. And Jason breathes, and he tastes like... It tastes like the first breath of morning fog and the color of slate. It tastes like the scream of a seagull and the thunder rumble in Tim's ears when waves crash at night. It feels like the shock of cold water on his skin when he washes his face in the mornings, and the brilliant flash of lightning across the sky. It tastes like the glimmer of the unknown in the water, and the soft lapping of waves between his fingertips. It tastes like magic. Tim's fingers let go of the ladder. And the water rises, or he sinks, semantics though, does it really matter? Until it's over their heads. Until they're in over their heads. He opens his eyes, and Jason's eyes are black and green, and his smile feels sharp against Tim's lips. Tim smiles back. Jason swims faster than him, which makes sense, considering that Jason actually has a tail and whatnot. He holds Tim against his front, pressed tight against his chest. Tim can feel the undulation of Jason's tail, the tickle of Jason's gills fanning open and closed. Tim's arms are curled around Jason's chest, and it's very odd. Chin hooked over Jason's shoulder, Tim's looking at the surface from beneath the water. It's like looking at a light through stained glass. Everything sounds like a dull and distant roar. Tim feels more than he hears. It's odd. Tim can't help but constantly turn his head, try and catch glimpses of their surroundings, because it's so oddly quiet. It's a little disconcerting. Tim wonders how Jason felt when he first broke the surface. If he was overwhelmed with the amount of sound, rather than the lack of it. Jason's grip loosens, and Jason lets them drift down, so that they're lying on some rocks. Jason's arm keeps him from drifting away. Tim's lying half on top of Jason, half suspended in water, and it's a weird feeling. Different. But nice. He can feel the soft muscle twitches of Jason's tail. Idle flakes. He can feel the soft hum that Jason makes through Jason's chest. The shiver comes soon after. Circling around them. Close enough that when Jason stretches his free hand up, sharks bump their noses and fins against his fingers. Jason squeezes Tim's hip, before letting go to tangle his fingers with Tim's. After a moment, Tim raises his free hand. The sharks nudge and bump against that, too. Tim watches the sharks, swimming above them in what seems like aimless circles. The sharp flicks of their tails, the sudden turns, the languid straight lines. It's almost hypnotic. And it takes almost nothing to keep his arm up there, for the sharks to bump against, to skim his fingers over them. His eyes drift halfway closed, and it's like all of this is a dream. Magic. Which it is. Jason's fingers twitch in his hand, and when Tim turns, Jason is watching him. Tim pulls Jason closer, curling into Jason's side. Jason smiles, hums. Tim can feel it in his bones. He smiles back. They break the surface of the water with a whisper, a ripple, and a closed-eyed kiss. Tim breathes in, and Jason tastes like magic and the ocean, and they just had a date. Tim smiles as Jason bumps his nose against Tim's, nudging at Tim's cheek with his. There is an odd, almost not friction when their skin touches, and Jason's exhales send shivers over Tim's skin. Overall, it's really different. Good. Tim thinks he's just gotten himself a boyfriend. Weird. Tim definitely loves him. The end.
So sweet and so cold, and all this devotion I never knew at all, and the crashing.